Welcome to episode 17 of Pizza Rainbow.
We have lasers.
We do have lasers, and we're 17.
We're 17, we have lasers, and we're going to talk about all of Bravo's reality lineup, basically.
Yeah, The Bachelor. Yeah, I really hope you like Beverly Hills.
God, we had a lot to talk about.
You'll
real issues.
Episode. Real issues that affect real people today, because we want you to recheck your priorities. That'll make sense later.
Do it. Not much. I still don't have a job, so I'm in my pajamas at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
It's a nice way to live, isn't it?
No bra.
No bra. You really not wearing a bra?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, look at that. Thank you. Clearly, you've been avoiding looking at my tits.
Yeah.
Thank
you.
It's
a casual podcast.
Oh, God.
Jennifer, I respect you as a person. I don't like objectifying your body.
No comment. I'm offended now. I want to be Yeah. One day last week, I wore my bra. I didn't wear a bra outside of the house, but I had a coat on. But you can't hide it in a puffy coat.
I feel like you can do that in a puffy coat and in a sweatshirt. I can't do that. I just feel so incredibly uncomfortable.
Yeah, I was pretty sure I was going to get in a car accident or something or get arrested.
She's gonna wear a bra.
No, just because, you know. If something embarrassing is going to happen to me, it's when I'm out and about without a bra on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's why, yeah. Wear a sports bra.
Yeah.
Or an ace bandage.
Yeah, that'd be nice. That would help with gravity.
Bind them.
Yeah.
Yep.
God, that would help.
Boobs.
I'm going to start thinking about that.
Yeah.
Ugh, I hate them.
Speaking of boobs, what you got going on this week?
Nothing. Just taking depression naps because I don't have a job. It's good.
That sounds great.
Yeah. You wanted cheerful? I gave you cheerful. You know what wasn't cheerful?
Do you want
to... fucking Bachelor ladies tell all.
That was not cheerful.
That was a lot of crying and a lot of, like, finger pointing.
Yep.
And more crying.
Which I thought was amazing.
And Chris is just dumb.
Chris is dumb.
He's so dumb.
He's super dumb. Yeah, no, I was happy that we got to at least spend some time talking to the girls. I just finished my recap for it. I think I'm over the whole, like, let's show up to Bachelor viewing parties part. Like, unless you're coming to my Bachelor viewing party, like, I don't give a shit what those parties look like.
Oh, of course. I get that.
Yeah. And it kind of feels like the finale part or the finale episode where, like, they take up half the episode telling us what we just saw in the season, where it's like nobody gives a shit. Get to the part that we really care about.
We saw,
like,
it.
Let's talk about the girls.
Yeah. We saw it. We've been watching.
Yes. We've been watching this whole time.
Yeah, it's lazy TV.
It is lazy TV. The only time that I will say that I appreciate that is maybe just like during little bits and pieces during the women or men tell all, because like with Dez's season, I didn't watch it all, but I tuned in for the men tell all because it's usually the funniest part.
And there's not, what's the crying level on the men's episode?
It's very minimal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that makes sense.
There's usually very little shit talking too. Like, it's a lot of it is like haha jokes, or like a guy will sit on the hot seat and kind of talk about his feelings in reference to The Bachelorette, but like.
And then freak out and back down.
Yeah, maybe a
like,
little bit.
Yeah. But it's fine. It's fine.
I'm getting laid all the time. I'm part of Bachelor Nation now, bitches.
High five, bro.
Get at me. Just jump on this.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, no. Women Tell All was amazing because I think Britt kind of showed her true colors.
Yeah.
Which I'm still bummed about. Like, it's kind of like having a really great friend that you look up to and you're like, oh, my gosh, she's awesome. She can't do anything wrong. And then you kind of see, like, just what a jerk she is. And you're like, I want to go back to that time when, like, I used to like you.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I really wanted her to be the Bachelorette in the beginning of the season. I was like, unless she does something horribly wrong, I want her to be that person. But I think going after, I don't know. I feel like, yes, Carly is jealous of Britt, and that's obvious. But I also kind of feel like Carly's that girl in, like, Sweet Valley High who sees the popular girl for who she is and just wants, like, other people to realize it, too. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Where, like, this popular girl's duping everybody and she just wants people to understand that, like, she's not as perfect as she wants you to think she is.
So she's kind of like Kristen from Vanderpump Rules.
Yes, except not quite as psychotic as Okay. Kristen. She's a little bit more sympathetic. But I think, like, well, and you know, because we watched it together, but, like, my biggest irritation was the fact that Britt literally cried the whole fucking time, except there are a couple times when she wasn't crying until the camera, like, panned to her. And then all of a sudden, like, she'd start crying again, which I was just like, fuck, like, stop. And then using her time with Chris to basically, like, shit talk Carly to him, I thought was, like, the lowest of the low. Like, that was bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there wasn't a whole lot of value in that entire episode. It was just a lot. You know what I mean? It was just, like, a lot of crying. And, I mean, this season, I don't know, this is the first season I've watched, but it sounds like it's been pretty overdramatic.
It's been probably, yeah. I mean, everybody makes fun of Chris Harrison for saying that, but it has been, like, one of the most dramatic seasons ever. And I think because they knew that Chris was such, like, a dim-witted dork, that they really, like, went after, like, girls who had huge personalities and conflicts and stuff like that, so.
Well, they needed something there. Otherwise, it would have been boring for them.
Oh, it would have been the worst show ever. Can you imagine if it was Chris and just, like, a sea of Beccas and Whitneys? Because they're sweet, but there's not a lot of, like.
There's not a lot of drama or boat rocking or anything.
No. Yeah. They don't have, like, sparkling, exciting personalities.
Yeah. So. Well, I mean, that's not what he's looking for, clearly.
That's true. I'm surprised that they didn't announce the next Bachelorette, though, at Women Tell All, because sometimes they do.
Yeah, I'm wondering if they didn't, because there was so much crying, there may have been a fucking mutiny.
Maybe. I don't know. One of the producers tweeted that they needed help deciding who the next Bachelorette was going to be. And I do know at the end of Andy's season at the Men Tell All, it was a huge toss-up between Chris and this other guy, and they still hadn't quite decided. So, I don't know.
Yeah, well, luckily, they don't have to.
Well, they're saying that reality. Steve is saying that Caitlyn's the next one, but I'm kind of
that makes sense. That. But I don't know who. You know what I mean? It's like she's got a pretty good personality too.
Yeah. Who would you rather have than Caitlyn?
No one. I mean, I was thinking Carly before, but after Women Tell All, I was like, I don't know.
Yeah. What made you feel that way?
I just don't think she's. I think she's like super. Super insecure and just like not super genuine across the board.
I would agree with that.
Yeah. You know, where I think Caitlyn has an authenticity where she's kind of the same all the time.
Yeah. Even where, when you don't like her, she's at least like being her. Yeah.
Yeah. As opposed to like Carly, where like one minute, you know, she's being like awesome and like the next minute she's kind of like, I get calling people out, but like calling people out to the, you know, to Chris. Oh, that's kind of weird. You know, not weird. I mean, I don't know how the dynamic works with the show. But for me, I'm just like, I don't know. I get that it's like, it's not technically a game, but it is a competition.
It is a competition, yeah. No, I go back and forth with that, where like, I feel like it's a cardinal rule of The Bachelor that you don't take your time away from the person to shit talk somebody else on the show. It never works out in your favor.
No.
It's not a good look. I do sometimes get, like, in the Brit instance, and I guess, like, the Courtney and Ben one from a few seasons ago, I get it where it's kind of like, if your eyes are not open to how this person really is, like, it could cause you heartbreak, and if I care about you, I want to save you from that.
Yeah.
But I feel like even in real life instances, like, how well does that person usually take that?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's just a matter of, you just kind of feel like I would want someone to be genuine if it was me. I want them to be the same way around me that they, not around the girls, because, I mean, bitches aren't like.
Bitches ain't shit.
Well, they're not like that around, you know, there's like a certain way we are around, like, our girlfriends. We aren't always around our guys, but it's nice when you can kind of be that same person kind of across the board.
When you can be authentic across the board.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just thinking that, like, if I had a guy friend who had a girlfriend that was, like, totally fake and stupid, it still wouldn't be taken well for me to, like, sit down to coffee with him and be like, listen, I think that you're not seeing her for everything that she is. You know?
Well, yeah.
Like, nobody wants to be told that.
No, because then it comes full circle anyway. Then everybody is talking shit about everybody, you know? I mean, it's reality TV that's bound to happen. But I think it probably could have been Britt. But Britt went home a lot earlier. And then she cried during the whole lady tell-all. So they're not really, I don't doubt they're looking forward to having a bachelorette that's just crying during
I think she ruined all the goodwill that she had built up with audiences.
Well, I think she did even the week that she left.
Yeah, no, I think the week before that too. Just seeing like how, whatever. Bye bye, Britt. We'll see you. Yeah. We'll see you on a TV show near you.
Yeah. Soon. She just threw a fit, and that's okay if you're on your own reality show, but if you're trying to, I think the thing that I learned from Bachelor as a show is like something that I like to call dumb people dating. But just in not, I mean, they're probably not all dumb, but it's just like a basic comic denominator group of people dating, and you're like, oh yeah, I shouldn't do that the next time I have a boyfriend.
Yeah.
Or, oh yeah, I'm not going to do that, or I would have done that differently. I'm going to do.
Oh yeah, totally.
It's just like a weird dating learning experience, even though it's like nothing like a situation that I'll ever be in.
Right.
I mean, I guess online dating, but you're not forced to go on like group dates with five guys from,
right, that's true,
from OkCupid, which thank God I'd be like, let me out of here.
Oh my God, I should start doing that though. Just like start amassing like my five potential picks and be like, we're gonna go on a group date, guys. You need to impress me.
This
there's
needs
gonna
to
be a rose at the end of this date.
I don't think OkCupid would let you do this because we probably have to like cast it like outside of that, but we should do a Minneapolis dating show.
That could be really funny. Yeah, and then just, well, and there's been some talk.
It's called OK Stupid.
OK Stupid.
That's not even like.
OK Stupid.
Yeah. And Billy Eichner will just yell at people the entire time. OK Stupid. Who wants to go on a date with Amber? Not you. Your shirt
sucks. We're going mini-golfing.
That'll be me.
Hold on, keep talking. I'm gonna let her.
Okay. So, yeah, Bachelor. I was, like, super stoked for Ladies Tell All, but then it got just so dramatic, and I can't handle it.
Oh, see, I love that. I wanted to get as dramatic as possible.
Yeah. Speaking of.
Yeah.
Are you done? I don't mean to cut it. I thought that'd be, like, a really good transition into this week's episode of Real Housewives of Beverly fucking Hills in Amsterdam. Breaking
shit. I am totally
shit.
Okay with that transition.
Embarrassing themselves.
Crazy.
And breaking up, breaking shit. Poor fucking Yolanda.
You know, the best thing that they did, though, and I was really surprised by this, where they put the dramatic action in the beginning of the episode instead of what they usually do, where like they only show half of it at the end and you're like, come on, I waited 3 weeks for this. Like, they literally just got it all out of the way.
Yeah, that was nice. I don't want to wait. Although they did put that teaser at the end of Brandi Glanville slapping Lisa Vanderpump, I'm surprised we haven't seen an obituary of that bitch dead.
Yeah. She's ridiculous. She's ridiculous, and there's been a lot of reports that she's not going to be on next season, that she's going to get fired.
They do, because you don't hit Lisa Vanderpump.
Well, the stuff that she's pulled is ridiculous. Like, it's never. Like, there's a difference between, like, good drama and bad drama. Where, like, good drama is, like, you are honest and you're brash and you're like, okay, let's actually talk about what's going on. Like, Lisa. Lisa is good drama. Both Lisa Rinna and Lisa Vanderpump.
Irreverent.
Yeah.
Like, Lisa Vanderpump is, like, smart and irreverent and she knows the right time
but
to
say. But
she
keeps it classy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whereas Brandi just screams in the street and then hits people and throws wine in their face. And, like, I know that she was on Twitter last night being like, how come I got all this abuse for throwing wine in Eileen's face where Lisa Rinna, like, smashed a glass or whatever? And it was kind of that thing of, like, because Lisa Rinna was provoked. Because she was being provoked. And not that anybody excused it. Of course it's not right. But it was one of those things where it's like, she didn't just, like, fucking do it out of the blue for no reason.
Yeah, like Brandi did. Because she has some unresolved issues about being a shitty parent. And she felt like people were judging her at that moment. It's like, bitch, you are taking this to a whole nother level.
Yeah. It was, okay, so to catch listeners up who don't actually watch the show and, like, what are you doing with your life on Tuesday nights? You need to start watching the show. But so
I applaud you.
All the women in Beverly Hills went to Amsterdam because Yolanda is from there. And so she took all the women back to her hometown to see her family and like to get to know Amsterdam and all this other stuff.
Yeah, she wanted to share it with her friends.
Right. So on the way there. So, okay. I'm going to try to like give the cliff notes instead of like an hours long explanation. So previously in the season, Kim, who is the blonde one, she's Paris Hilton's aunt, has been acting erratically. And she's supposedly 3 years sober. It's been a huge storyline in the show, her sobriety, where previously, like, she had tried to cover up with everything in her willpower the fact that she had a problem, even though everybody knew that she had a problem. So she's supposed to be sober. except she had an instance with Lisa Rinna in a limo where she was acting batshit crazy. And later it came out that she had taken a pain pill that had been given to her by her ex-husband or whatever because she was in pain. So Lisa Rinna became obviously concerned because she's had a lot of people in her life who have died from addiction and alcoholism. So she kind of started talking to the women, kind of at an aside of like, do we need to be concerned? Do we need to like do something about this?
Like any good friend.
Any good friend would do, but she made the mistake of going to Brandy because she assumed that Brandy was the closest to Kim other than Kim's sister. What does Brandy do? Turns around and runs back to Kim and tells Kim that Lisa's asking everybody about her treatment and whether or not she's sober and whether they should have an intervention. Which is why, like, Brandy, fuck you. Like, it's those things that she does where she's like, I just felt like she had a right to know. Well, then don't engage in the discussion with Lisa Rinna then. Then excuse yourself from the conversation and be like, I'm sorry, this is about my friend. I don't feel comfortable having this conversation. I wouldn't feel comfortable not telling her about it. I'm sorry, I'm going to have to excuse myself.
Well, yeah. Or just recognize, instead of being like this person that thinks that everyone's out to always get everyone.
Yeah.
When it's like, she's not really out spreading rumors and lies and talking shit. She's a concerned person.
Yeah.
Like Brandy is extremely distrustful of everyone.
Yes.
So in her mind, I feel like she thinks it's like, oh, you're doing this, and she's gonna go back and stir the pot because she's fucking crazy.
Yeah. She's the classic person where, like, she steals from other people, so now she's super paranoid that people are gonna steal from her. So, anyways, on the way to Amsterdam in the private plane, which I love, by the way, that they shared with Babyface, which is, like, amazing.
Yeah, great. Babyface wants to hitch a ride. Is that okay with you guys? Man, I don't know how I feel about that. Well, fuck you. Babyface is coming.
Poor Babyface, because later on, Kim got into it with Lisa Rinna, basically telling her to butt out, which is fine if you're just like, listen, I hear that you've been asking about this. I don't appreciate it. Let's just not talk about it. Come to me first. But Kim gets very aggressive and she's like, I can't remember exactly what she said, but it was like, it's over. Discussion over. And it's like, no, you don't do that. Like, you're 65 years old. You need to give somebody else a chance to, like, refute it. And Lisa Rinna was like, I wasn't trying to, like, do anything wrong. She's like, I was concerned. And so Kim tried to shut it down. So then later at a dinner, they're having this beautiful dinner at this wonderful restaurant. And
in Amsterdam.
In Amsterdam. Yolanda tries to open up the intimacy by having everybody share something about themselves. Lisa shares that her older sister had died from alcohol and pill abuse. And then I kind of cringed when she started talking to Kim and being like, I apologize if anything that I've done was misconstrued, but this is the place I'm coming from. Because I'm like, this isn't going to end well. So then Kim immediately goes into, let's talk about your husband. Basically alludes to the fact that there's rumors that Harry Hamlin is cheating on Lisa Rinna, which there always have been. Like, it's always been kind of like rumblings around Hollywood. And it basically kind of told Lisa, like, if you don't want me to tell people what I know, then you need to stop talking about me too. Lisa lost her shit. What basically started screaming that Kim better not ever go near her husband and broke a glass and lunged in and almost tried to choke her.
Yep. It was like lunge, possible choke, rethinking choke, breaking glass.
Yeah. And she went for Eileen too. Like, Kim started attacking Eileen. Called her a homewrecker and a beast. And Eileen was the only one who was just like, Kim, stop it. Like, the way that you're talking is ridiculous. It's amazing to me that, like, Kim goes after the people who actually have the balls to stand up to her. Like, when she's acting stupid and erratic and fucking crazy, the one who are like, stop it, like, that's the ones that she has the biggest problems with.
Oh, yeah. She can't handle. She's got definite, like, emotional intimacy issues.
Yeah.
And she can't handle it. And plus, she can't answer they just want to, you know, that's the thing. Here's the thing about in this situation that makes it more concerning that she may have a problem with something right now is just the fact that she gets so fucking angry.
Yes, I was thinking that too.
And then throws like extremes out there, like, this is involving my children. It's like, no one was talking about your fucking kids.
I know.
Like, you just brought your kids into this.
Yes.
Like, people are concerned about you.
It's deflecting.
Say thanks. You know, they would be less you know, less concerned if you were like, no, I'm good, thanks for asking.
Yes. No, and I thought that too during the dinner where I'm just like, you know, here's the thing. Like, if I don't have a problem and people are accusing me of having a problem, I'm just like, you know what? I don't. Like, I made a mistake that one night. I shouldn't have done it. It's over. Like, my sobriety's good. Thanks. We can drop it.
Yeah, but it's like,
she gets so fucking upset and defensive. And it brings everybody who's watched the show back to the beginning where, like, she would get so incredibly defensive. And Brandy should know because she did that to Brandy once, too. Like, she made it a war against Brandy because Brandy's like, you're fucking high. What's going on?
Yeah. And then Brandy's just completely forgot because Brandy's kind of, like, making it... It's almost making it her job to be a deflectionary tool.
Brandy's being codependent. Like, yeah. She's totally falling into that codependency addiction. Like, she is enabling Kim to do all of her defense mechanisms and to get away with everything because Brandy needs an ally. And I can't remember who it was who said it last night, too, where in the aftermath of the dinner, they're just like, it's so interesting that those two are buddying up because they're both so obviously, like, in so much pain and don't know how to do it. And Kyle, like, said it perfectly, too, where she's just like, you know, we may have hurt Brandy with the things that we said, but there are things that were actually happening and that Brandy was doing and that were true. We didn't say them to deliberately hurt people. And she's like, Kim and Brandy say things that are deliberately mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's such a deflection. It's just a tool to deflect what's going on.
Yeah. It's classic intervention behavior. Like Party of Five, if you watch that episode, it's classic intervention behavior.
Oh, my God.
I'll never forget that episode.
Well, now it's you crazy. Need to put the scene on.
I know. I'll try to find it and put it in the show notes. It's so true. I think about, literally, though, like... Because I did chemical dependency counseling. I did psychology, majored in that. I did a whole bunch of stuff with, like, kids in England and juvie hall. And I always go back to that episode where I think about, like, intervention or calling people on their addiction shit. It's always that thing where it's, like, then they lash out and they start looking for, like, ways to deflect the conversation. It's crazy.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Scott Wolf, you're in my head.
Oh.
Can't get you
out. Is that Scott Wolf? It is Scott Wolf. Oh, funny.
Yeah, so that was crazy.
And then she's, Brandy, you're done.
Brandy's out. She is. I'll say it one more time, and then I'm done saying it. I used to really love her. She's so fucking funny. She still, like, will do stuff that's funny, but now, like, I've seen, like, how incredibly mean and, like, backstabby she is.
She's being super hurtful, and a lot of them gave her, like, so many second chances.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, like, if she turns against Yolanda, like, I'm going to kill a bitch. Because, like, Yolanda has been the only one who's still, like, sticking up for her. And even Yolanda is just like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah, she's like, why are you doing this? And then she slaps Lisa. And luckily, Lisa Vanderpump's a classy bitch. Because pretty much anybody, if she would have slapped anybody else, except for Yolanda, of course, they would have fucking ripped her hair out.
Can you imagine if she slapped Eileen? Eileen would have killed her.
Like, that's what I love about Eileen, though, is she keeps it pretty classy.
She keeps it classy, but she keeps it real. Yeah.
You know that you don't cross her.
You know exactly where you stand with Eileen. Yeah. That's why I like her. I love Kyle. I feel so bad for her with all this bullshit.
Oh, this is just like... And honestly, I just think about kind of like... Things, I mean, I don't know everything about them, but just the fact that they were both, like, child actors and just the combination of, like, what kind of lifestyle that is.
Yeah.
And then being, like, on this show now as adults, and it's just, like, I can't even imagine, like, the mind fuck that's got to be.
Yeah. It's interesting whenever one of them brings up Kathy, because I'm interested to know, like, the dynamic between them. And Kyle has spoken about it before, too, where, like, it's interesting that I think Kim's the oldest. And Kyle has said something about...
Kathy, like, is the oldest.
Kathy is?
Because they have... Nope. Yeah, it must be Kim and Kyle, and Kathy might actually be the youngest because she's got a different...
Well, it's something about how their mom had died of cancer when they were younger. And Kyle has alluded to the fact that, like, Kyle and Kathy switch off on being the mom to Kim.
Oh.
Which I think is really interesting. But I don't know. It's just so, like, it is really sad to see two sisters... be in that situation. And, like, it pisses me off when Kim gets off on Kyle and telling her she's a bad sister for not defending her. Fuck, Kim, you didn't fucking defend her. You didn't defend her in any of that stuff.
So, well, especially when Brandy, your best friend, is being a fucking psychopath to your sister.
Right. I know. See, that's the thing where I'm just like, you're such an effing hypocrite. You want everybody to just, like, fall around you and, like, nobody talk about anything that's going on. And, like, if anybody dares talk about you, like, they need to mind their own business and they're an awful person. Yeah. But you can, like, you can insinuate that somebody's husband is cheating on her. Like, that's totally okay and that's fair.
Yeah, game. And then calling Eileen a homewrecker.
Yeah, calling her a beast.
Yeah. I cannot wait to see the next episode. Oh, my God.
It's going to be amazing. You guys, you need to tune in.
Is that the finale? That's got to be.
I don't know. I know the reunion is, according to Annie Cohen, it is the most emotional, intense reunion that he's ever had.
Which I'm sure.
Is saying a lot.
Well, yeah, I mean,
there have been some incredibly intense emotional reunions.
Well, even based on the this episode alone.
I know.
I mean.
Yeah, there's a lot.
I'm like, I can't wait to see someone just give it to Brandy.
I know. It's never going to make a dent, though.
Because, it's not, yeah, because yeah, she's just.
Because Ken did last season. He made Brandy cry. But everybody felt sorry for Brandy because they're just like, oh, like, you guys were the ones who. Because we all still kind of liked her at that point.
Yeah.
But now that we've seen, like, what she's capable of and what she can do, like, yeah. It's just that thing where, like, she's always going to be that person who is always going to justify her own behavior and she's going to feel sorry for herself. So, like, anytime somebody tries to make her take responsibility for her own actions, like, she's just going to be like, no, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah. I always wonder about these shows, you know, in these part, maybe I take myself too seriously. I mean, not that I'm, like, a star or anything, not yet. But, like, you would think that you would be, like, a little more careful about, you know, the image you portray.
Yeah.
You know, when you kind of, like, when you're basically have been in the media for X amount of years as, like, the token batshit crazy ex-wife.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the thing that I find interesting is because the first season, Camille, who used to be married to what's-his-face?
Kelsey Grammer.
Yeah, Kelsey Grammer. Camille Grammer. She was kind of the villain of the very first season. And the second season, she completely turned it around. And she actually, like, got really boring. So I think they actually asked her to leave.
Oh, my God.
But, like, now, like, we see her. Like, she popped up in a couple of episodes. But now we see her and we're like, oh, Camille, like, I miss you. Like, she's actually really sweet and nice. But the first season, like, she was a catty, jealous bitch. So that's why I think it's interesting where it's, like, Brandy just doesn't have any self-awareness. Whereas, like, I think the other ladies, some of them have become so self-aware that they're not actually being genuine. That's why I fucking love Lisa Rinna. I'm so glad she came on this season. Because before, like, I think the perception of her was something that she's talked about and laughed about where, like, she'll do anything to make a buck. She'll do anything to be on TV. You know what I mean?
It's like, hey, I'm an actress. Fucking, that's my job.
I know. But now she's on the show and it's like, she's so fun. She's so campy. She's so honest.
But that's the thing. It's like, she's honest and she's fucking genuine.
Yes. And she has, like, she's the first person to say, she's like, I'll do anything for a buck. She's like, you got to keep yourself relevant. She's like, I'll do whatever. Like, that's what it's so refreshing against, like, some of the other women who are just, like, so censored, I think.
Yeah.
Because that makes it not fun.
Well, and the thing is, I feel like there's, like, you know, reality TV politics to a certain degree where sometimes, like, let's just say Brandy's not really defense, but, you know, she's got to, you know, stay relevant too. And Brandy just being, you know, real Brandy would probably not keep her on the show.
No.
But at this point, being real Brandy and being reality TV Brandy, like, nothing's going to keep her on the show.
No. Yeah.
Because she's just a loose cannon
like
a gigantic chip on her shoulder.
Yeah, I just feel like it's not a healthy environment for her either. Mm-mm. Like, I will, like, her books are fucking fun. Like, I've read two of her books and they're hilarious. So stick with that. I've listened to her podcast, which is also amazing. Like, she's the one person, she's kind of like Pete Holmes, where, like, she goes for it. Like, she's not trying to, like, make you comfortable. She's kind of the person who's like, so how big is Ben's dick from The Bachelor? Like, in her interview with Courtney. You know what I mean? Like, she's kind of like a female Howard Stern.
I think that works for her then.
Yes.
Because there's a way for her to be herself in a way that's acceptable, that's not stirring the pot of other people's drama.
Yes, exactly.
Or, like, you know, the codependency or things like that.
Totally.
You know, we're on the episode this week where she was like, you know, no one thinks I'm a good mom. It's like, Jesus fucking Christ, no one said that.
And then she did the thing that I fucking hate. And if people do this to me, I'm just like, I'm done. Where, like, you say something, and when somebody starts to respond, like, you scream or you talk over them. Don't, like, that.
Ah!
Oh. Yeah, exactly. It's like, let's pretend like we're having an argument, and then you scream. Like, kids at Juby Hall used to do that all the time. And it is, like, it shows a huge lack of maturity, plus, like, you don't have an argument. Like, if you're trying to filibuster me and you're trying to scream over what I'm saying in response, like, we're done. We're not talking anymore.
Can I just do that all the time?
Yeah.
Like, in the middle of job interviews? So why did you leave your last job? Bah!
You never listened to me.
Caw, caw!
No, and, like, not to get existential, but, like, I think Brandy is that perfect example of... You need to find your voice, and then you need to figure out, like, where your voice works best. Like, my voice did not work best in a clinical setting with parents of children with autism. You know what I mean? Like, I don't work best in, like, a professional environment in that capacity, but I work best in, like, on podcasts or blogs where, like, I can say my own thing and, like, have my own voice.
Or you can say...
Say what I want to say. Oh my god, that was so brilliant. Let's talk about that.
Oh, finally. I mean, I for some reason could have talked about that episode for a long time.
I know.
I'm just so like, you're much. In fucking Amsterdam. I hate you people.
Also, Amsterdam. Jesus. We gotta go.
It was so pretty.
Sponsors, if you would like to send us on a sponsored vacation somewhere.
We'd be like, oh, we're in a cafe, as they like to call them, in Amsterdam, Netherlands. Yes!
Thanks, GoDaddy.com.
Dream come true. Thanks, Exxon. You can slap up those otters with oil whenever you want. Sorry.
Please don't do that. All right, so yeah, don't, let's
that's
talk about,
not cool.
Anyways, the episode was amazing. I'll try to get some clips on the show notes too. I'll even write myself an extra special note right now so I remember to do it later.
Extra special notes.
And then I'm gonna build a shrine to Lisa Rinna because she's my new favorite.
You're gonna, okay, cool. I like her a lot.
I do too.
But seriously, can't she get their upper lip fixed? She's so fantastic.
No, but I love that about her, though.
Why? It's so bad.
PH Amsterdam. What was the other one? The intervention from Party of Five.
Oh, yes.
If anybody remembers that show, you need to go on Pizza Rainbow on Facebook and tell me about it right now, that you remember the Party of Five intervention episode.
Yes. So that we can know what time of the day you listen to us, y'all.
Yeah. Speaking of our Facebook page, I have to give a shout out to somebody on our Facebook page because we had asked for comments on a topic that we were going to be talking about. And then, of course, I forgot to check them before we did an episode.
That's okay. Y'all can do it now.
Yeah. So.
This shit ain't live, guys.
Nope. We are recording. We'll be taking your calls momentarily.
Boop, boop, boop. Give us a call. The Pizza Rainbow. give us a call. I mean, give us a call is a modern code for post a note on the Facebook.
Post a note on the Facebook.
Put a comment. Comment.
So Erica Von Harn, who is a friend from high school, and I freaking love her. She's amazing. She wrote, so I asked people to tell us what their favorite SNL 40 moments were.
Ooh.
And she wrote, favorites, Betty White and Bradley Cooper making out hard and John Lovitz being dead.
Yes.
So, yeah. Thanks, Erica Von Harn, for replying, because your favorites were also our favorites.
Yeah, that Lovitz thing, man. We were talking about this last week where we were watching when we were doing the Oscars. And we were just really hoping that at the end of it, they would have put in that John Lovitz was dead.
I just want them to do it for everything.
It's like, sorry, John Lovitz is very much alive, but he's dead.
The best.
And the one thing I loved about the Betty White thing, I am a vehement non-fan of the Californians.
I know.
Whatever, and that's okay. Yeah. But when I knew they were going to kiss, I was like, you guys, go for it.
Yeah.
Like, mean it. Like, don't do it like a
don't
funny...
Don't do it half-assed.
Or like a funny, ha-ha, gross. You know, sometimes on SNL, they like kiss, but then they just like smash their tongues together and it just looks stupid. I mean, I'm like, you kiss Betty White.
Like, and you do it right, Bradley
You
Cooper.
Do it right, Bradley Cooper. You give her, like, old lady masturbation material for the rest of her life.
That's right. Or she can give you old lady masturbation material for the rest of your life.
What if they fucked? Afterwards, Betty White was like, yeah, I know you got a model girlfriend, but you do have some severe mommy issues. Do you want to fuck?
They do say that you don't get wrinkled down there. It's the one place. I don't know.
I'm going to go Google some old lady bush and find out.
Gross.
Yeah, I trumped you. Trumped you. I win.
That's the only thing that I don't want. Like, it's that, like, Sex and City episode where Samantha's like, it's going gray down there. Like, that's when it's time to really get those, like, gift cards to the Brazilian bikini wax place.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be my first priority post-retirement. Yeah, can you wax me and give me my natural color, you know, down there? No. Be like, hey, we've been married for 40 years. Do you have a problem with my old lady bush? Oh, you do? Fuck you.
I'm going to go take some acid. I'll talk to you later.
Yeah, I'm just like, you know, I could divorce you, and I would get everything.
That's true.
They give old ladies everything.
Yeah, especially if you, well, there's certain states where you
especially
get
especially if you plot their death, too.
No. Just saying.
I would never do that to you, future husband, unless you were a dick.
And then maybe.
Nah, probably not, but no, probably not. I like to live my life outside of prison.
Yeah. I like to live my life out loud.
Yeah, and not in prison.
Not in prison.
Just pretty much, that's just, I want to do all of the things, but I don't want to go to prison.
Yeah, because prison doesn't really go into my retirement plan of, like, I'm 80, so it's time to drop acid, do cocaine, smoke a lot of pot, not do heroin. I still am not going to do that.
Nope, don't do it.
Drink beer all day. Yeah, I'm just going to fucking do it. I'm going to eat cheese balls out of a metal can. I'll be like, fuck you guys. I'm fucking 80.
And if they don't have them then, we're personally bringing them back.
We'll make them.
Planters original recipe.
Cheese ball puffs.
Yeah. And they'll be like, these are just for the old people because we are pre.
We're already dead.
We're pre-formaldehyding our bodies. Yeah,
we're saving on embalming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you're gonna
pretty
be
happy with this plan.
But your plan is to get cremated, Grandma. I'd be like, yeah, have fun trying to cremate this.
My plan is to get cremated, except it's going to be happening on a Viking funeral pyre out in a lake somewhere.
Oh, that's cool.
And you need to do the bow and arrow of fire, and that's how you're going to set it on fire.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Can we do that now? Like, okay. Sooner than later?
Yeah.
Just kidding. I'm kidding. We should practice.
And then my little brother's plan is for his body to be set on fire and then thrown out of a plane.
Oh, my God. You'd have to make sure, though. Because if it got set on fire and if they threw you out of a plane, your body would probably stop burning. Wouldn't it?
Yeah, or
would
and that was the argument that I had. But he's like, I just want it to be like a shooting rocket. I'm like, okay. My mom got so mad that we were talking about this.
You can get your ashes put in, like, a variety of things. I wanted to get my ashes put into fireworks.
Ooh.
You can steal that. Everyone can do that. I don't even care. Everyone should do that. And hopefully I'll be really awesome and have, like, my own lake place. And then my family, who will all, of course, hate me, will still do it.
Yeah.
Because they hate me, but they're also shooting.
But they'll be like, let's light her on fire. What fireworks. Better way to express your hate?
She did this for us.
Yeah.
I did. No, I just did it for me.
Fucking hate you.
What's
family?
New?
We watched on, what was it? My Weird Addiction. Is that what it's called?
My Strange Addiction, I think.
My Strange Addiction, yeah.
I could be wrong.
No, I was at Chelsea and Matt's house, and we were watching like the top 10. Or something, and I don't like watching like any of like the hoarders, addiction shows, like any of that stuff. Like, well, and you know me, like anything that has to do with like bodily functions or like gross stuff. Like, I'm just like, no thanks.
Yeah.
But Chelsea loves it. So we were watching it, and there was the one of the woman who couldn't stop eating her husband's cremated ashes. And like, and it was weird. It was mostly weird because like her reasoning behind it of just like wanting to, like, get as close to him as possible or, like, to feel him as close to her as possible. I was like, I get that, but I still wouldn't eat his ashes. Like, it's, like, taking, like, the hardest part about grief, which like is really difficult if you haven't been through it, but like it's a very like, yeah, it's a very emotional, tough like phase to be in, but it's like taking that and then like jumping over the line and just being like, okay, we're like all in. So yeah, it was tough.
Yuck.
Yeah. But yeah, so I would like to do something else with my ashes so that none of my family members can do that.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
I don't think your family would do it though.
I think
you never know.
I think they will. I think you'll probably want to do it.
I'll put if only it, I could throw up on them.
Well, I'm going to put it in a little unicorn kitty rainbow box for you. And then you can
don't
just
trust
have
me
it.
With your ashes. I'd be like, everybody, Amber left me her ashes. Come on over and we'll play Who's the Cat That Shit on Amber's Ashes? We'd all take turns pretending it was a litter box. Just kidding.
You're such a bitch.
I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't shit on someone's ashes.
I might.
You probably would.
Yeah.
I just don't. I mean, I guess if I had a moment where like everybody got a tiny litter box and I could do it in private and then, you know.
Well, yeah. I mean, then, I'd want to do it in private as well.
And then scoop up my own poop so no one could be like, oh, that's that's Jen's poop? Gross.
You got to take it to the lab and test it.
Yeah, yuck, no.
Have you ever seen the shipping news?
Yeah.
Yeah. When Judi Dench does that to her brother or uncle or whatever.
Oh. Yeah.
It's a very fitting, I mean, we all know how I feel about bodily functions, but like, it's a very fitting part of the movie because later you find out and you're like, yeah, I would fucking do that too.
Yep.
Yep. Yeah.
Did we talk about the Brave sketch or did we just
We
go,
haven't. We kind of like glossed over it.
We just were like, oh, Brave. Ha ha ha.
Perfect segue. Let's talk about other stuff.
Yeah. Hey, pooping in litter box of people's ashes. Moving on to my favorite sketch of this week for SNL.
It was good. So who is the guest on SNL?
Dakota Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Alexander.
And where is she from? Just kidding. I'm just like setting up the clip here.
Oh, she's in the new biopic about Hillary Clinton.
Oh, is that right?
No! 50 Shades of Grey!
Quick thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm excited to watch it. Jen had me watch the clip before the podcast for the
listeners.
It's
the Sarah Bareilles song Brave, and it's just
so annoying.
It's so fun. I don't mind it, but every once in a while I need a song like that. Yeah. Right now, after that sketch, now it's my firework.
Yeah.
Because, like, I was kind of in a crappy mood yesterday, and then I was in a good mood, and then I kept thinking about that sketch. Because, you know, they do, like, your average, like, you know, someone's like, hey, can you give me a ride to the airport? And you're like, God, I want to go to the airport. Like, I care about this person and I want to help them, but I don't want to do this. And then you say, yes, anyway. But instead, you're brave and you say no.
You say, get yourself a cab.
And then you dance.
Yeah. And then you have a parade because everybody's speaking their mind and saying what they want to say. It's hilarious.
It's so good. And Leslie Jones makes it better because that's just everything. What she does.
Yes. Like, I'm just, like, waiting. I see her in the scene and I'm, like, rubbing my hands together. Yep. I'm like, what is she going to do?
I really love that show Breaking Bad. I'm not going to ruin it because it's so funny. It's so in good. The thing. We're posting it. Normally, I'm not, like, very link heavy. I'm just like, I don't really care. It's a podcast. Why do you need links? Do it yourself.
Yeah.
But you got to watch it.
Yeah, you do. So yeah, we'll have that clip for you guys in the show notes if Jen remembers how to put that in there. So yeah.
What?
Look forward to it.
Yeah, and then just let's recreate some. We should seriously just go all around town and do some.
Oh my God. we could just like Instagram video it. That'd be awesome. Yeah,
we'll have our friends like ask.
Or you guys can do your own Brave scenarios and then send them to us. And we'll post them on our Facebook page and talk about them in the next episode.
That'd be amazing.
Yeah.
Someone do that.
Fucking do it. Maybe we'll even have a prize for you for the best one. Yeah. Do your best Brave scenarios.
I'll kiss you on the cheek.
I will maybe kiss you on the lips, depending on how attractive you are. It's been a while. Yeah.
It's been a while since Amber kissed a boy on the mouth and not his dick.
I think it's probably August.
God damn it.
Yeah.
It's been a while for me, too.
Yeah.
And I just broke up with someone and I wasn't, I'm not gonna get bitter. This isn't cool. I'm gonna move on from that.
Right.
Sorry.
You are starting over, starting fresh. Life is gonna be awesome.
It hurts.
Anyway. Yeah.
See, brevity, bitches.
Speaking of brevity.
You did it. High five.
Let's talk about Vanderpump Rules, the finale.
Okay. It was good, but were you a little disappointed?
A little bit.
It was kind of dull.
Yeah.
It kind of hurt.
It was kind of like the, it was kind of like sleeping with a guy that you have been waiting forever to sleep with, and then you sleep with him and you're like, wah, wah. Yeah. Or you're like, no, like, that was good. It wasn't like, whoa.
You built it up too much.
Yeah.
That happened to me once.
Me too. Cocaine Matt. I was like, I'm going to fuck this guy. And then I didn't. And it was like, wah, wah.
I know. And you're but like, while it's happening, you're like, oh, God, no. No. No, I built this up.
Isn't that what's supposed to happen?
And he's like, you're not supposed to be saying no. And you're like, oh, wait.
I'm just like saying no in my mind of like, this isn't how it's supposed to be going down.
How can you hear my thoughts?
Oh, I think there's only like, yeah, there's two guys that I'm like, you know, maybe I should have just thrown my morals to the wind. Just made that happen when I could have.
Yeah.
But I didn't.
I think it's something too, like if you had been like, yeah, I want to get on this guy. But and then you, instead of like just being like, all right, I got some condoms and the female condom and all of the things to make sure I don't get poisoned to death with his dick. And then just do it right away while you're still like, yeah.
Yeah.
Instead of being like, this is going to be really hot.
It was that. And then like, I liked them enough that I was like, well, let's take it to the relationship level. And then it didn't go to the relationship level. And that's when I got pissed, where I'm just like, I could have just like had sex with you on the first date and would have been totally cool with it. Cause that was that phase of my life when I was totally cool with that. But instead it was like, no, I like this guy. I might want to wait for this. And then I still didn't get to do it.
I know. Seriously, for me, I have been put in that fucking weird situation where, like, a guy shows interest in you. Mm-hmm. And you have a good time. And you're like, oh, my God, I'm going to lock this down. I like this person. And then they're like, and I don't know if I have to touch the mic because it just feels real safe. But then they're like, I'm not in a place where I'm ready to date. Be like, did you know that before?
Exactly.
Oh, my God. If I didn't like you so much as a person and like understand you, I mean, I hate all the other ones because that's just bullshit.
Right.
Get off these online dating websites. If you're not ready, get the fuck off.
Yeah.
Like,
we're not here for an ego boost.
Seriously.
You dicks.
Backstreet Boys said it best when they said, quit playing games with my heart. It may have been NSYNC, but I'm pretty sure it's Backstreet Boys.
It was NSYNC, but it's cool.
My heart. I think it's Backstreet Boys.
Quit playing games with my heart.
Quit playing games with my heart. I tell you.
I don't know.
No, that was like the little back part when you were doing the whatever.
Yeah.
I let you sing the lead and you blew it.
Yeah, but speaking of, that brings up something else that happened this week, and then we'll talk about Vanderpump Rules.
Yes.
But I literally found out, and I don't ask me how I found this out. It was weird, like, coincidence. But I found out that three of my ex-boyfriends, there's more, but like three ex-boyfriends are now married and they have kids. And two of them, I like, one of them I stumbled across, like, he has two kids. And I'm like, what? How do you have two kids? We just dated. And then I like took him in and was like, oh yeah, we just dated like 6 years ago.
My God.
But yeah, like he's moved to Chicago. He has a partner and they have two kids. And I'm like, what happened? Like, I'm still like over here being like, yeah guys, 2008 is gonna be the best.
Oh my God. I am having, and I don't know if like there's gotta be something lunar or planetary where people are just like kind of being jerks too. Mm-hmm. And everything's like up in the air and super uncertain, you know, minus the part that I made where I quit my job without another job. Like, I created that world for myself. That being said, there just seems to be, like, a lot of muddled shit going on right now.
I think it's all, like, we could get into the lunar planetary stuff, but I think a lot of it is, like, everything's kind of upheaval and it, like, starting to kind of sort itself out so then it can then, like, come back down and, like, be sorted and, like, new beginnings, all that stuff.
It's gotta be a spring thing.
Yeah.
A winter to spring thing.
Oh, totally.
There's so many, I feel like, in my past, you break up right before spring.
Yep.
Or you break up like right before winter.
Or right before the holidays.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. No.
Thanks, Jesus.
Just think of it that way. You're doing a spring cleaning on your life.
Well, I don't like some of it.
I know, but it'll make room for new stuff.
Okay.
Speaking of, so Vanderpump Rules is over. Bummed.
Who else is over? Pretty sure Tom and, no, what's his face?
Tom and Katie.
Tom and Katie, if yeah. Tom doesn't get his shit together.
Tom Schwartz.
Yeah.
But not to be confused with Tom Sandoval, who is moving in with Ariana. That was his big, big question.
That was so cute. So dumb. Seriously, I wish Schmidt? No.
Schmidt?
Tom Schmidt?
Schmidt or Schwartz?
Schwartz.
I feel like it's Schwartz.
They call him Schwartz.
Yep.
The Tom Schwartz, if he, like, he and Katie lived together, but if you'd been like, baby, I got a question for you.
Oh, my God.
Do you want to, I mean, she would have stabbed him.
She would have murdered him. I'm sorry. Like, she needed to break up with him, like, last year. Like, the guy can't hold down a fucking bartending job.
Yeah, I mean, you know what's going to happen. I think, honestly.
And he can't be a male model forever.
No.
That shit's not going to last forever.
Yeah. I just feel like, I think to a certain degree, because I've had this before with the, we were in a relationship with that person, and they're like, hey, I want to be with you, but blah, 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 is like, you know for a fact that when you break up with them, the next relationship that they go into,
yep.
that they are going to do all of the things that you wanted them to do.
Yes. No, it's true. It's like Murphy's Law.
And you have to accept that because to a certain degree, if that person's not for you, that person's not for you.
Right.
But it's just like,
but because throw like, them back I did in that the pond. Too, yeah. I mean, I totally did that with like, I had all these issues with one boyfriend and then the next boyfriend, it was kind of like, see, I can do this stuff, so fuck you.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that he was the exact same way, where he was just like, all these things that you had issues with, like, I got them worked out now. So, and he did. Like, that's, I think that's the thing that makes it irritating about seeing ex-boyfriends or learning about their lives, where it's just like, oh, so all these things that, like, you refused to do when we were together for whatever reason, like, now you're, like, you're totally okay with doing.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's, like, that total fucked up, like, heartbreak of, like, why wouldn't you work on those for me? Because you can't work on stuff for other people.
Yeah.
But why not?
I know. Well, you said, what's that movie, Kim, is it Kim and Jesse, or which one is it with, what's her face from Parks and Rec?
Oh, Celeste and Jesse Forever?
Celeste and Jesse Forever, yeah. Like, Erica and I talked about that scene where, and I think Erica wrote about it for Bright Wall in a Dark Room, where, like, it is kind of just that thing that, like, we all want to say, but we don't, where it's just like, why couldn't you do those things for me?
Yeah.
But it is true, like, you have to do them for yourself, and when you feel like somebody else is putting the price of your relationship and their affection on you, unless, like, you do this thing or that thing, like, nobody's going to do that. They're going to be resentful, and they're going to be like, fuck you, like, I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You're not ready. You're
no
not ready.
No one's going to have anal sex with you if you put your relationship in the balance of, like, you would do it if you loved me.
I had to really think about that one. That's a real deep issue.
Yeah.
Get it? I wasn't even trying. That doesn't even make sense. But that's okay. Yeah. So Vanderpump.
Doing the butt.
Apparently we were just really unimpressed with Vanderpump Rules because we don't seem to want to talk about
no,
it.
We don't. We could talk about Beverly Hills all day long. There's but just,
I think because that episode here, like, I'm like, what? We're going to talk about it some more? Okay. Like, because there's a lot of like real shit going on, like sisterly relationships, like friendship relationships, addiction, batshit crazy bitches that are just in your life. They got bad plastic surgery.
Going to Amsterdam.
Yeah, Brandy.
Being rich and fabulous. Yeah. Whereas like Vanderpump Rules, it's just a bunch of like shallow, stupid servers who are like, my life is so hard. I don't know why people don't like me.
Yeah, which is why we like that show when they're getting their asses handed to them by either the universe or Lisa Vanderpump.
Yes, it's amazing. Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, they can look pretty and dance for
us. It's going to be interesting to see what happens on next season, though, because Stassi no longer has any friends, except for that bitch Christina Kelly, who I don't like anymore either. I kind of liked her before. She seemed like a neutral person, but now like she's starting to strike me as being that person that like stirs the pot, but just enough so that like she doesn't have to like be a part of it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, she's totally that person. I mean, she clearly has, like, a bunch of other people in her life, like, other friends, and she's just in this world, and she's just like,
yeah.
Look what's going on here.
Yeah.
Oh, someone said this about you. Oh, my God.
Yeah, if she was your real friend, she would come up and talk to you. No, she wouldn't, because you're talking to the bitch who's, like, the biggest bitch in this friendship.
Yeah.
It's stuff like that I'm just like, whatever. Stassi is another person. Stassi and Kim should get together for lunch one day. We're like, Stassi just assumes that, like, everybody needs to, like, just follow her rules and bow down to her. And it was really funny when Stassi mentioned where she's like, I thought that Katie was agreeing with me all these years because she agreed with me. And Lisa's like, no, because you were bullying her. Yeah. Which is true.
That's amazing. Yeah.
So Stassi doesn't have any friends anymore on the show. Neither does Kristen. Like, she's dating James, apparently, but, like, the reunion is going to be off the chain.
Good. I was going to ask you about that, if they have a reunion for that show.
Yeah, that's going to be amazing. I'm really excited to see what happens, because I know Shayna was on this show on Watch What Happens Live earlier this week, and her and Andy, like, kind of talked about it, and they're just like, oh, yeah, the reunion's crazy. So, yeah. Cool. What else happened this week? Oh,
House of Cards, Netflix.
House of Cards. So House of Cards started streaming on Netflix on the 27th. I've only watched the first two episodes because I'm trying to pace myself.
Okay.
But so far, I've been pretty happy. Pretty happy with it. I've seen some pretty terrible reviews. Like, it's always funny to me how, like, critics completely, like, turn on their asses. We're like, they couldn't get enough of House of Cards, like, the first and second season, and now they're like, House of Cards needs to fold. Fuck off. It's still a great show.
They just wanted to use that fucking tagline.
I know. Where you're just, like, waiting. You're like, oh, how can it? It's like me using the Jesus Take the Wheel GIF yesterday during a Twitter conversation. I was so excited about it. So, yeah. No, I like it. I'm excited to, I might dig into the rest of the season tonight. So, yeah.
Nice. Yeah, I started watching the first season, and I have to be in the right mood.
You
have to
be in the right mode. Yeah, the right frame of mind. It's like Orange is the New Black.
Okay. All I know is that I might be ready, and only because, like, last night I was out doing some stand-up at a mall, and I, like, was walking back to my car, like, outside to go smoke, and I really just kind of wanted to punch everyone in the face. Like, families, couples, maybe a baby. I don't know. I was just, you know.
If it's an ugly baby, then yes.
And I purposely didn't look at the baby's face. But I did.
Look at you, baby.
It's like, I wasn't going to do it, obviously, but it would just be fun to, like, imagine it. Like, hey, punch. And I was like, wow, I need to.
You might be in the right mindset for Orange is the New Black then. Yeah. That might be more towards your mindset.
Yeah, I already watched that.
Oh, really?
It's okay.
I think House of Cards is perfect for, like, when you're in the mood for, like, cerebral, like, thinking.
Oh, so never.
That sounds so dumb.
Never.
So, like, when you're in the mood for, like, thinking, then, like, you should put on, like, House of Cards.
Do you know me? I can't even say it. Thinking?
But speaking of being in the mood, though, so the Goldbergs did a spoof on Ferris Bueller.
Oh, I heard you laughing.
It was so good.
Did you save it or did you delete it?
I think I saved it, yeah.
Okay.
Because it's so, so good. That show, honestly, if you're not watching it, you need to watch it. It's one of the best shows on TV right now. It's so hilarious.
They're all really good. The little kid, I love the kid that plays the little brother.
Yeah. And I love Barry. Yeah, I like all of them, too. The mom, Barry.
They're all great.
Yeah.
Actually, every single character.
Yeah, I know. That's true. Like, there hasn't yet been an episode that I'm like, that was a dud. Like, it's all been so good. Yeah.
Yeah, that's good to know. I mean, just in terms of, like, I've been kind of thinking to myself lately, like, there is, like, every single, like, the big three networks have very distinct styles for their sitcoms.
Yes.
It's like NBC is a very crisp, more, like, hip urban, not urban, but, like, a hip, like, you know, single camera, whatever. I don't know what I'm talking about, but they all look different. And, like, ABC, like, CBS is definitely, you know, like, Fake Live studio audience, like,
oh yeah,
like, yep. Stage it, like, very, like,
remember
staged.
Full House, great.
Yeah,
here's another one.
Yes, like, everything on TJF, please. Mm-hmm. And then ABC is like a little bit like
campier.
It's campier, but it's got Fox. Its own style.
It's similar to Fox,
yeah,
I feel
actually.
Like.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like Goldberg's actually belongs on Fox. Is it on Fox? I don't know.
No, it's on ABC.
Yeah, you're right. But yeah, because Fox did the Surviving Jack, which came on like last season. It had Detective Stabler from Law and Order SVU. Yeah. And it was also kind of like set in like the late 80s, early 90s. So it had like that music and that feel to it. It was fucking great, but it got canceled. It was so funny though. Like,
it's
was
so hard to get
riot.
Traction on certain things lately.
But it was kind of like that Vice Versa, those movies that all came out where it's like the Freaky Friday, but with the dad stuff.
Oh my God, Vice Versa. No, like Father, Like Son.
Yeah, but it was like that, where it's like the two movies come out at the same time that are essentially about the same thing. And it, like, I felt like Goldberg's and Surviving Jack were kind of the same on that, where it's like, oh, remember when we were younger and this was stuff that we did? Except Goldberg's is like... So
now we
good.
Need now we need like a late 90s one for us.
We do, yeah. Or we need somebody to like reboot. I'm not going to talk about that because that's a secret. But yeah, we need somebody to like reboot like Felicity and...
I don't need another Felicity, but have at it.
Which, My So-Called Life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't need to relive that either. I like the funny. I want the funny.
I'm working on, like, the secret is I'm working on something with those two shows, so I'm really excited about
it. Well, good. That's going to be a success for you, and I didn't mean to just shoot it down. I'm like, oh, sorry.
The other thing I'm really excited about is Adventure Time is becoming a movie.
It's about time.
Oh, so excited. Warner Brothers is doing it. They still don't have, like, a release date, which is animation, so it's probably going to take fucking forever, but... I'm so excited. That show is delightful and amazing, and I love it.
It's good. Mm-hmm. I haven't watched that much of it, but even I like it. Oh, and I so don't have a heart right now.
Yeah. She just has a cold stone sitting in her chest.
It hurts.
I'm sorry. I'm not laughing at your pain. No, I just love laughing at like your...
I just keep saying... It hurts. Like, I wake up in the morning. How are you doing, Jen? Good morning. It hurts. How many more times can I? I'm not going to subject anyone to that anymore.
It's okay. Breakups are tough.
Yeah. Gosh.
Everybody hates them. I might have a book for you to read.
Someone tell that to those llamas that were busted out all over town.
Yeah. Somebody tell them to those guys. By the way, remind me to shoot you an oil. That'll help you with that, though. That's a real good oil.
Okay.
It's a real good one. You put it on your heart, and it helps you with a broken heart and with the emotions that come with it, and it's real good.
Okay.
It's called bergamot. It's amazing.
Ooh, nice.
But yeah, those llamas are probably running away from a bad breakup, too.
What do you know about those llamas? I'm going to be honest.
Don't know anything.
I don't know much about them at all.
I know
they were running.
All I know, so I was at my friend Angie's house, and my friend Martha was there, and we were talking about some oil stuff, and then somebody mentioned that, like, all day long on Twitter, it had just been, like, a bunch of llama memes and all that other stuff, which I had missed out on because I had been, like, doing stuff and wasn't on the internet all day, which was surprising for me. Like, I feel like it's really weird that, like, the one day I choose to not spend all my time on Twitter, something weird happens.
Well, I'll tell you why, is those were, like, two of the lamest, like, trending things ever.
But I thought it was so funny. You're doing the Brandy thing. I thought it was so funny how, like...
I'm sorry.
I'm gonna punch you.
You said it.
It was hilarious how, like... Okay, so first it was, if you're not up on the Up and Up listeners, first it was the llama stuff that, like, they broke free or something and they were running all over or whatever.
Like they broke out of a petting zoo.
Yeah.
Good for them.
And then there was a picture that somebody had uploaded to the internet that Gawker then, like, kind of took on. And the question was, what color is this dress? And the dress originally is a blue and black dress. But from the way that the photo is taken, and also if you put it into context with, like, different people's laptop screens and the lighting around them, and, like, also there's, like, evolutionary science support on, like, the way that, like, we perceive information. Some people saw the dress as black and blue. Others saw it as white and gold. I personally saw it as like gold and periwinkle the first time I looked at, or brown and periwinkle. I was like, I don't know what the fuck you guys are talking about. This is what I'm seeing.
Yeah, also, who paired brown and periwinkle? I know. You fired.
It's an ugliest dress. So yeah, but it was funny how those two things completely converged into becoming like this huge vibe. Like literally within the course of like an hour with the dress thing, it became one thing where like people were talking about on Gawker, and then you had Mindy Kaling and everybody else like being like, it's this, it's that. So yeah, it was interesting. But I thought it was funny because I, like, after seeing some people's comments, I'm like, you know, there's really like two people in the world. There's people who like are insisting that the dress is black and blue and the end. And then there's other people who are like, you guys, you know, it might be like something with lighting and stuff. You know what I mean? Like, it was just funny how like there's some people like, it's black and blue, the end. Yeah, no, it's not. Otherwise, we won't be talking about it right now. Yeah. So, yeah.
I don't know. Normally, I'm not like Little Miss, like, don't care. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, I was just like, I did not give a shit. I don't want to think about it.
Yeah. I just like when everything gets crazy like that.
Yeah, it's so over fun something when, like, so crazy.
Yeah. And everybody's talking about it. And then, of course, you have the Debbie Downers who are like, if everybody got this concerned about ISIS, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, shut.
It's like, don't remind us. We suck.
This is why we're into this stuff, to relieve us of having to think of these awful things that are going on in the world that we probably think about at all times anyways.
Not me.
I got into a Twitter combo with a pal who was like, if you're watching The Bachelor right now instead of the Snowden documentary, you need to recheck your priorities. Oh. And I wanted to be like, fuck you, double birds, F the fuck off. Because it's that thing where I'm just like, I know you think that you sound really smart right now, and I'm sure that you're like self-congratulating yourself on like watching this amazing documentary instead of The Bachelor. But like, I do this because I do recaps and because it's one of my favorite things to watch. And like, I can watch that documentary at any point. And also at the time, like, it was showing on HBO. Not everybody has HBO, motherfucker.
Yeah, not everyone can illegally download it and then eat pizza and then fall asleep because it's just a movie of Edward Snowden looking at a computer screen.
That's right. Not everybody is Jen Paulson and has those feelings. Yeah.
Sorry. No. It was like I had like a real carb crash or something. And I'm going to go back and watch it. But yeah. It's a very, obviously it's a quiet film.
Yes.
There's just a lot of stuff with him on his computer, looking at a computer screen. He is also not he is an eloquent speaker, but there's no range the voice. It's just the same, yeah, just the same all the time. And that's okay.
Yeah.
But when you ate a bunch of pizza and you're carbing out and you're crashing real hard, you can go night night.
Yeah. I just, yeah, it just...
That's not a dig on that. Sorry.
No, and, like, I think it's an important thing to watch, and I think people should be watching it. But I think when people... It's just one of my biggest pet peeves, and it kind of works into a conversation I'd had, like, over Super Bowl or whatever, where it's, like, it's cool to let people dig what they dig. And, like, when you try to mock stuff like Bachelor and Real Housewives, like, it's easy fruit. It's easy pickings. So, like, I don't think you're particularly smart if you're like, yeah, if you're watching this instead of watching this. Like, I don't fucking care. I don't know. It's one of those things that, like, yeah, it bugs me. Well, like, I think about important shit all day long. I want to have my Bachelor and drink my glass of wine because I deserve it.
You do.
Yeah.
You deserve those things.
Yes.
We need to find out what that person's guilty pleasure TV show and then ruin it.
Oh. Good idea.
I'll talk to you
after. I got some intel.
Yeah, I'll help you find out. That. It's like, duh, we all need to get our priorities straight. Fuck you. Be like, hey, you guys, you should probably focus a little bit more on your breathing. Die.
I love it. That's the best. Have you talked to your doctor about your heart health lately?
If you're not talking to your doctor about your heart health, you're just 35 and doing your best.
Let's make a t-shirt out of that. If you're not talking to your doctor about your heart health, you're just 35 and doing your best.
I think I stole that part from Mulaney where he's like talking about how when he's in traffic, he's like, to the people in traffic with me, I know what I'm doing. And I wish I wasn't doing that either.
Yeah, I remember that.
Like, And then they expect me to be like a dog driving, smoking a cigarette, and then they just see a 28-year-old man doing his best.
So. We're all just doing our best.
How did I even know all of that?
I don't know.
I love him.
I love him too. I think, yeah. And then what else happened?
The most important thing.
Yes.
Next to, you know, like Citizen Four and ISIS. This is really hard. Jared Leto cut his fucking hair.
What?
Yeah. There's some real issues.
Finally. God damn it. He is a handsome man.
What I like about it to a certain degree, and in my notes when I was preparing for myself, I say, Jordan M.F. Catalano is back.
Yes.
Except it's kind of a shorter haircut.
Yeah. That's okay, though.
Put a wig on him, please.
When he first started doing videos for 30 Seconds to Mars, he kind of had like a, not a crew cut, but like, remember Miami Vice 80s where like it was kind of like the...
Like a flat top almost?
Kind of a flat top, but like longer.
Okay.
Like spiky or whatever. Okay. So he had one of those haircuts, like 80s businessman stockbroker haircuts. And I was like, hot damn.
Yeah, he knows what he's doing.
It's real sexy.
He's a vegan, you know.
He's a good singer, too.
That's good.
Yeah. I like his music.
I'm not saying it's bad.
He also has a very large instrument that he tends to work with.
Nice. I just like when it looks pretty.
I just like when he has, like, talent and when he cares about important things because I like to recheck my priorities.
Good. I'm superficial and don't care.
And that's why I like you.
That's not true, though. I'm not really that superficial. No. But I don't care.
But that's the glory, is knowing that you're not superficial and shallow, but you can also have fun talking about superficial and shallow shit.
I also did it all for the glory of love.
Yeah. For the glory of love. Oh, Jennifer.
I'm not that sad.
Let's make you a calzone.
I'm pretty sad. Ben Wyatt, make me a calzone to heal my broken heart.
Pizza does tend to make that stuff feel better.
Yeah, this is just sort of the podcast where I'm just like, bleh, 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 bleh. Mm-hmm. It hurts.
Yeah.
It doesn't hurt as bad anymore. It's not even that, I'm not going to say it's not a big deal. Anyway.
Yeah. All right.
That makes me feel better.
Yeah. Well, we're at the end of the show, so. Which feels like a really awkward
way. The end of my life.
So anyway, we're at the end of the podcast.
So Jen said, and that's okay.
We'll see you guys next week.
Yeah, I love you though.
Bye guys.
Or do I?
Be brave.
Brave. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of Pizza Rainbow. You can check us out on iTunes, where you can rate and review us, and also go to our Facebook page and do all the Facebook fun stuff.
And you can find our Facebook page at Pizza Rainbow on Facebook. And to follow Jen on Twitter, you can follow her at TigerBeatPoet. You can also follow me at Amber_L Carter, or check out my website at AmberLCarter.com. And yeah, get out there, eat some pizza, taste the rainbow.